So just as a side note, before we get started, you know, when we do praise and worship, the Holy Spirit is calling you by name. I mean, he's calling us and inviting us into him. And praise and worship, especially when it's a time like this where it's collective praise and worship, it's our opportunity to respond to his calling to us. Recognize the fact that he's calling to you, and then we won't make, this is my life too many years when I was down at Pastor Mickey's church in New Hope. There was too many years where I was just so excited to get to the Word of God. This was my heart. It was like, can we get through these songs? Because I want to get to the Word of God. And then I realized that I was missing the opportunity, that this is him calling me, and we get to come together as a body collectively. But he's still calling you individually. It's the Holy Spirit calling to you. And when we come together as a body of Christ to praise and worship, it's our opportunity to respond to that call. So take advantage of that and make it personal, because it's personal and it's intimate for him. And we need to make it that way for us as well. It's personal and it's intimate. And I would say take advantage of the opportunities. See, he makes me a teacher, and so I think in lines of teaching. Take advantage of the opportunities. The songs that we have, a lot of those songs have interludes where there's no words. And it's easy for our minds to just start going somewhere else or to think ahead to the words that are coming. But those are great opportunities to just listen to the Holy Spirit and then to worship whatever. Whether it's worship or just singing your own words, putting in your own song, whether it's just speaking and praying and singing in the Spirit, whatever it is. If it's just speaking to him, take advantage of those interludes to make it personal between, because Holy Spirit is calling you by name into his presence. And this is part of the way that we take ownership of that and we enter in ourselves. Does that make sense?
Yes.
All right. Word of God. We spent the last 2 weeks. I told Donna these last 2 weeks, I've been so looking forward to speaking on Psalm 23. Because usually he'll give me the message that I'm supposed to share on Sunday on like Monday, either Sunday night or Monday. That's usually when I know. But it was about 3 or 4 weeks before that he told me that he was wanted me to speak on Psalm 23. So I knew when that was supposed to start, and we started doing it. And I was so anxious for it because it's a psalm that we've read so many times it becomes familiar to us. And sometimes when things have familiarity, we tend to just go back to the same thoughts we always have when we read those words or those verses. And I was excited because I knew that there would be some fresh revelations that he was going to show me. I was excited about it. And I told Donna, man, this is the third week of this. These have been the 3 most difficult weeks for me putting together a message. I mean, I knew what I was going to do. He already showed me. But as I've been going through it word by word and verse by verse, it has just been a struggle. And a struggle that I've enjoyed. It's a struggle that I like going through. But it's been a struggle, which just lets me know there's a lot that is here. And I know that there has been an effort to kind of discourage me. I've not become discouraged. I get excited. I'll tell you that I think it was on Thursday I said to Donna, man, I just don't know. I've reworked this thing like 3 times, and I still know it's not right. And she would say, he always shows you. I said, yeah, before Sunday, he'll put it in order for me. But even Friday, and I said to Donna, even yesterday, and then even this morning I was going through it, there's still, you know what? There's a way, I'm going to take this part out because this is the word that needs to be focused on. So I say all that just to prepare you for, I love these messages. I love the opportunity that he gives us in this. So we spent the last 2 weeks looking, revisiting Psalm 23. And just to recap, we've seen that Psalm 23 is one of those psalms that we look at in our minds. We always kind of think of Psalm 23 as being a psalm of inactivity, being a psalm of serenity, which is highlighted by lying down in green pastures, resting in just by those still waters. But we found over the last 2 weeks that it's really a song of great movement and activity, because it tells us, it says that he leads us to still waters. We are moving. There's motion. He leads us down paths. We walk in the valleys. And his goodness and his mercy follows us. These are all indications of movement. And that's important for us to understand. So let's look at Psalm 23 again. Before, hopefully by now, but hopefully by the time we get done with this, Psalm 23 is just going to roll off of your tongue. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So we saw that verse number one is our starting location. What is our starting point? Making the Lord, allowing the Lord to lead us, to shepherd us into every day of our lives. Starting point, verse number six, we saw is the final destination. And that final destination is for us to dwell in the house of the Lord. We saw last week that has a twofold benefit for us. First of all, there's the eternal comfort, and then there's also comfort in this natural realm. The eternal comfort is we know that all of those who have gone before us and know Jesus Christ, we know that they are spending eternity in his presence. And this is the same promise for you and I who have accepted the sacrificial work of Jesus Christ on our behalf. We know that we will spend eternity in his presence. Eternal comfort. But the natural comfort is we also know that we have the opportunity to return to him every day that we live in these natural bodies. All the remaining days of your life, you have a daily opportunity to return to him, amen, to return to his presence as we press into the throne room of God. Amen. So verse number one, starting place. Verse number six, final destination. Verses 2, 3, 4, and 5. These are the verses that are the movement. This is the path he leads us on as he is taking us to that final destination that he has for us, dwelling in the future and in the present, dwelling in the house of the Lord all the days of our lives and forever. Now, last week we looked and focused on verse number two. We saw last week in verse number two that while the Good Shepherd does lead us to those places of peace, to those places of comfort, and to those places where we have spiritual growth, that path is also the time for the sheep to learn. It's on that path. We are to learn to trust the Good Shepherd. Amen. It's where we learn to listen for his voice and to watch for him so that we can move when he moves. Amen. And we also read last week that he makes us lie down. And we saw that lie down also means to recline. And that is that beautiful picture that we get of Jesus, I'm sorry, with the disciples, with Jesus at the Lord's table, at the Lord's Supper. The disciples reclined with Jesus as Jesus is sharing with them the bread and the wine of the new covenant in his blood. We need to recline in Jesus and his word and allow all of his covenant promises to pursue you and overtake you. Now, let's move on to verse number three today. Verse number three says, he restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. We really need to know, understand, and feel the emotions that are intended in this verse. And the emotions that are explicit in that word leads. Because that word is intimate, it's personal, and it is individual to you. This is a picture of Jesus himself gently taking you by the hand and leading you, guiding you into the day. That word lead, part of the definition is this: treating kindly the helpless. Leading. Treating kindly the helpless. Sheep are helpless. And as sheep of the Good Shepherd, we are truly helpless outside of him. Feel the emotions, experience the emotions in this one word. Because there's even more to this. Because that word lead or guide, that was meant to be evocative. Those who heard David say this and speak this, this was meant to bring up, to conjure back into their minds and their memories the image, lead, guide. It was meant to bring back that image of the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night, the presence of God as God led them through the wilderness. This is the same image that you have for you and I, the presence of God within us, leading us and directing us through the wilderness of this life, through the days that we are living here in this world. And here's the final thing that comes from this one word, lead. And it's the most important thing, because this is what it means, and this is part of the definition. It means especially, it means to lead on the path of blessing. He is leading you. When you let him take you by the hand, he's given you all of these promises, but you need to know that he is leading you personally into the blessings that he has for you. Why? Why? Why would I not get up every day and say, "Good Shepherd, take my hand and lead me into the day. I don't want to go into the day on my own terms. You lead me into the day, because these are the things that you have for me." Now, add on top of all of that, on his path, he restores my soul. That's my mind, my thoughts, my thinking, my perspective, my outlook. Do you want a different perspective in life? I mean, do you want a different outlook on your life? Stop leading yourself into the day. Let him lead you into the day that he has already prepared for you. Let him lead you into that which he already has for you. And then instead of defeat and instead of discouragement, he's restoring your mind and your thoughts. You are then on the path of hope, joy, peace, and blessings, regardless of your situation and regardless of whatever the circumstances are around you. This is where he's leading us. He's restoring your soul, your mind. Are you tired of walking in the daily battle against discouragement, fear, and yes, even depression? There's been a lot of focus on mental health, given all the events of the last 3 years. Our culture is really focused on mental health. Let the Good Shepherd lead you into the day that he has already made for you, and he's going to lead you every day. He's going to lead you into the day, and as he leads you into the day, he's going to restore your mind, your thoughts, and your emotions. Yes, yes, sir. You want the best way to get mental health? Let the Good Shepherd lead you into the day. This is where mental health starts. Let him lead you into the day that he has for you. Again, I've said in the past, when you get up in the morning, it's your choice. You get to make the choice. You're either not going to give any attention to Jesus and just decide, well, here's what I got on my calendar. Here's what I'm going to be doing for the day. And just go yourself into the day. Or you can stop and you can say, "Jesus, I know that while I've been sleeping, you've gone into the day before me. You've seen all of the challenges. You've seen everything that's going to come against me. You've seen all of these things. You've prepared the victories and the deliverances for me that I cannot see. You've already prepared to walk me through. Take me by the hand. Lead me into the day." And you have mental health, mental peace, and blessing as you go into the day. This doesn't mean there's not going to be challenges in the day, but it does mean that he's already seen it and he's provided your deliverance and all those challenges. And you have that mental peace, that mental health as you go into it. And then, as I said last week, make sure that at the end of the day, lie down before him. Yes, sir. Lie down before him so that your last thoughts of the day, your final thoughts of the day are on him and on the things of Jesus Christ, so you can let go of all those concerns, worries, fears, doubts, anxieties. Release them all into Jesus when you lay your head down. And what you've done is you've positioned yourself so that when you wake up, you can hear the voice of the Good Shepherd calling you by name and leading you into the day that he has. Thank you. John chapter 4, verse number 3. To him, the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, And he calls his own sheep by name and he leads them out. That is the picture. When you're reading Psalm 23, go back and read John chapter 10 and put those things together and see the good shepherd and all of the things that he has planned and put in place for you. When we walk into the day without allowing the good shepherd to take us by the hand and lead us into the day, we are walking into the day just as the world does. We're walking into today blind and in darkness. And then we're going to wind up being spiritually reactive instead of being spiritually proactive. Amen. And here's the end result you're going to find of that being out of order. You're going to find that all the decisions that you make and all the choices you make throughout the day lead to futility and frustration. Wow. Sound like a day? Does it sound like any days you've had the last week or two? Yeah. Paul talks to us about this. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, 17 and 18, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk." It's the whole picture of moving that we see in Psalm 23. "Walk into the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their hearts." That sounds like Paul is speaking that right after he read Psalm 23. But what's really amazing is just a few verses after that, Paul says this. He says, "Be renewed in the spirit of your mind." So even as Paul was speaking those things to us, he's taken right back to the same truth that we see in Psalm 23. He's saying, let the good shepherd, if you let him lead you into the day, he will restore your mind and your thinking. So if I will allow the good shepherd to lead me into the day every day, if I'll allow him to take me by the hand and lead me into the day, I get all the promises of Psalm 23, including that my mind is renewed and restored. Now the Hebrew word for restored also means to return. So this means that as I'm allowing the good shepherd to lead me into the day, throughout that day, he is bringing my mind back to him and away from the confusion of the world. It's returning to him, away from the confusion of the world. Then the decisions that I make and then the choices that I make, they come with ease and they come with certainty, which is not the way we usually feel about the decisions that we have to make. But if we're letting the good shepherd lead us into the day, he's bringing our minds, he's restoring it and bringing our minds back to him all the time. So those decisions come easily, and we're sure of them. This is reiterated for us in Proverbs chapter 2. This is verses 7 through 10. "He hides away sound and godly wisdom and stores it up for the righteous." Kind of sound like a prophetic word we had this morning. "Those who are upright and in right standing in him. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly and in integrity, that he may guard the paths of justice." Does that not sound like Psalm 23? Even more of this does. "He preserves the ways of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness, justice, and fair dealing in every area and relation. You will understand every good path." He's leading us on the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. "For the skillful and godly wisdom that will enter into your heart, and knowledge shall be pleasant to you." Again, I say to you, why would I not choose to get up every morning and turn my heart right to him and say, "Jesus, good shepherd, thank you that you've prepared this day for me. I lay aside my plans. I'm lifting my hands to you. Good shepherd, take me by the hand. Lead me into the day that you have personally prepared for me." Verse number 3 also gives us this phrase. Paths. We're to walk in paths of righteousness. So the word paths. Paths means track, and I love this. It also means an entrenchment. This is giving us a picture. When we walk into the paths of righteousness, this is giving us a picture of a well-worn path. Let me see that picture, Donna. A well-worn path. The more that a path is walked on, the deeper the entrenchment. See, on a path like this, you will not easily lose your way on a path like this. That's good. It's well-worn. It's entrenched. You can see exactly where you're supposed to go. How many times have I struggled my way through a day? That sound familiar? You ever feel like you're just kind of stumbling your way through the day? That's a sign that I've gotten off of his well-worn path, and I've taken my own path. Let me see this next picture. This is my experience in my lifetime. My paths tend to be overgrown and really difficult to traverse. So which of these two pictures, which of them resembles your average day walking in him? Because you get to choose your path. Choose your path. It's either going to be, I shepherd myself in the day, or he's going to shepherd me into the day. We get to choose our own path. Now, that word entrenchment, the path of righteousness is an entrenchment. I looked up the word trench in the Bible, at least in the New King James. Trench appears only three times in the entire Bible, three times. And all three of those times, it's just within a few verses. It's all in the same account. All the times, every time you see the word trench in the Bible, it is all tied to that account of Elijah. When Elijah is facing that showdown and having that victory at Mount Carmel. This is the time when Elijah, standing alone against those 850 false prophets, and he prepares that altar to the Lord for an offering. He makes that altar, he rebuilds it, he sets up the offering, and then the Bible tells us that he made a trench around the offering. And he said the trench was deep enough that it would contain a full sacrifice offering of seed. This is a pretty large, that's a deep trench. And then we know that Elijah took water and he poured water on that. And the water covered the offering. It covered the altar. It covered the wood. It covered the dirt. It covered all of that. It filled the trench. And he said, put more water on. And a third time, put more water on. And then after that whole offering and that trench was filled with water, then Elijah called upon the name of God, and the fire of God fell from heaven, and it fell on that altar, and that fire consumed everything, the offering, the wood, the altar, the stone, the dirt, even the water itself was licked up in the trench. 1 Kings 18:38. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, the wood, the stones, the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. Listen, when you and I, when we make the choice to follow the Good Shepherd into the day that he has made for us, when we make the choice to walk on his paths of righteousness for his name's sake, we are making our lives an offering to him. And when we do that, we surround ourselves with that trench. And it is a trench of seed, which is the word of God. We are surrounded with the trench of seed, the word of God. And we're surrounded with that trench of water, which is the Holy Spirit. Now you have positioned yourself for the fire of God to fall upon this altar of our hearts. And notice this, the fire did not fall just anywhere in Elijah's day. It fell in one place, the altar that was given and prepared to him. You do these things and you prepare yourself to be that altar where the fire falls and it falls in you and through you to touch the world around you as well. This is where we see the changes taking place because we see the signs of the testament. We see the signs and the wonders. This is where we see those things take place and the world will see it in you. They'll see it in your life and they'll see it through you as you speak the word and as you pray. And as you walk in him. So then we come to the final phrase of verse number 3. The final phrase is, for his name's sake. Psalm 23 is filled with calmness, comfort, assurances, and promises for you. But never lose sight of the fact that we walk. He leads us on the paths of his righteousness for his name's sake. These promises are all for you. Receive them. Take them in. Rejoice in them. But never lose fact. Never lose sight of the fact that we walk those paths of righteousness for his name's sake. That means as you are following the good shepherd, the world is watching. And the world is taking notice. They notice because they are sheep without a shepherd. They have no one to provide for them. They have no one that cares for them or is providing for their daily needs. So they are watching you. They're watching you to see, and they're going to see the good shepherd cares for his sheep. They're watching and they notice. Now, when you're looking at a sheep, if you're watching a sheep, you're looking at a sheep, what's the first thing you notice? The wool. Now, you look at a sheep, the first thing you see is the wool of the sheep. Well, sheep that have no shepherd constantly are getting their wool entangled in dangerous things, in briars and thickets, and places where endangered their lives. A sheep with unkept wool, that wool becomes an impediment to the sheep. That wool can become so thick that it can actually cause the animal to have a heat stroke. A sheep with no shepherd, that wool is a danger to them. The sheep with no shepherd, if that wool gets too big, it can also slow them down so that they become vulnerable to their predators because they lag behind and they're too slow. So, when you think about the wool of a sheep, think of it as the things of this world that attach themselves to us in this life. And it's the things that are potentially dangerous or harmful to us. The more I attach myself to the things of this world, the more I love the things of this world, man, the more my wool is getting bigger and thicker around me, and the more it is hindering me, so I wind up looking like this. And let me tell you something. When the world's looking at you, and they see you looking like that, that's how they feel themselves. So when they look at you and they see that, they're thinking, I don't see anything different. They need to see you walking as a sheep that is following the Good Shepherd. They need to see the love and the care of the Good Shepherd. Here's the way they need to see you and I today. We need to look like this, Donna. Not like that. Like that. This is what the world needs to see because they're watching you. They want to see you healthy and strong and joyous, leaping out of just a happy-go-lucky heart as you're walking in Jesus through the day. The world is watching as you're following the Good Shepherd.
That's excellent.
They want to see, they need to see, the Good Shepherd cares for his sheep. The Good Shepherd loves his sheep, and the Good Shepherd is taking care of us. So, wool represents for us the sheep's wool. It represents for us the attachments of the world. It represents to us our carnal nature, right? So with that insight, it's easy for us to understand why those priests of the Old Covenant were not allowed to enter in to the house of God while they were wearing wool. This is one of the commands that God gave. This is Ezekiel chapter 44, verse number 17. And it shall be, whenever they enter the gates of the inner court, that they shall put on linen garments. No wool shall come upon them while they minister within the gates of the inner court or within the house. Wow. Now, this is reflected in other places, but here, this is Ezekiel, and this is part of Ezekiel's vision of the temple that was going to be rebuilt when the Israelites, when Jerusalem, when the Israelites were released from captivity. But this is also, because if you look at Ezekiel's vision, it is also a look ahead to the temples of today. You and I are the temples of today. We are the temples of the Holy Spirit. We are not supposed to be carrying the weight of the world on us as we follow the Good Shepherd. Remember, the final destination of Psalm 23 is to dwell in the house of the Lord. It is so that we can dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of the remainder of our lives and throughout all of eternity. So as his sheep, you and I are his sheep, as his sheep, we are not to be attached to the things of the world. Now this fact is reiterated for us as well. It's reiterated for us in the fact that God also instructed his people, he instructed them to not wear clothing that was made of a mixture of wool and linen. This is Deuteronomy chapter 22. I'm not making this up. This is what the word says. Deuteronomy 22. You shall not wear a garment of different sorts, such as wool and linen mixed together. Go to Leviticus 19. It makes it crystal clear. You do not wear clothes that are a mixture of wool and linen. What's the reason for that? Well, linen represents holiness. It's what the priests put on as they entered into the house. Wool, as we've already seen, represents the attachments to the world. We are his priests today. Peter said we are a royal priesthood. We cannot mix those two things together. We can't mix holiness of God. We can't mix holiness along with being in love with the things of the world or attached to the things of the world. Not if we want to follow on the path of righteousness that he has laid out for us. We need to make sure that our eyes, our hearts, our minds are focused on and looking at Jesus, paramount to our vision, paramount to our hearts and our passion. Yes? Now watch this. So God instructed his people to not wear clothing that was made of a mixture of wool and linen. But we also see that God did instruct his people to make tassels that they were to attach to the corners of their clothing. This is what it says in Numbers chapter 15, verse number 38. Speak to your children of Israel. Tell them to make tassels in the corners of their garments throughout their generation and to put a blue thread in the tassels of the corners. Now, according to ancient Jewish writings, those tassels were made of white linen and a blue thread of wool. So they were forbidden from wearing clothing that was made of a mixture of linen and wool, but they're told to make tassels of linen and wool and to attach those to the corners of those clothes. Why? Those tassels are all about walking in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. That's what the tassels are about, because those tassels represent our lives. We are linen and wool to the world. We're the linen and the wool. We are the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We are holy in Jesus. The Holy Spirit is in here. We are linen to the world, but we're also wool, because that Holy Spirit is in these natural bodies which attach us to this fallen world. We are linen and we are wool to the world. And the world is watching to see the results of these linen and wool sheep. To see the results of these linen and wool sheep as they follow the good shepherd. Now, consider what Paul tells us in the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verse number 1. And have clothed yourselves with the new spiritual self, which is ever in the process of being renewed, again, all ties back to the same verse, and remolded into the fuller and more perfect knowledge upon knowledge after the image, the likeness of him who created it. Follow the good shepherd. This is what the world will see. Follow the good shepherd and they see this. But it's more than that. Follow the good shepherd and they will also see Jesus in you and through you. Remember, God told his people to make tassels and to attach them to the corners of their clothes. The Hebrew word for corner is kanaf. Kanaf means corners, but kanaf also means wings. The prophet Malachi, when he was speaking prophetically about the Messiah, Malachi, speaking about Jesus, prophetically said, he will arise with healing in his wings. Jesus did come with healing. And that healing was oftentimes represented by those tassels, those corners. Because remember the woman with the issue of blood? Yeah, woman with the issue of blood. She said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed. Look up the Hebrew word for him. When we read that in the Hebrew, it's tassels. That is the Hebrew word for tassels. The woman with the issue of blood said, if I can just touch the tassels of his garment, I will be healed. She was, because those tassels were on the corners of his garment. And suddenly, Matthew 9, a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came after from behind and touched the hem, the tassels of his garment, and she was healed. And it's not just her. You go later in Matthew chapter 14, it says, and many people brought sick so that the sick could just touch the hem of his garment and they were healed. Listen, you are the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You, picture yourself this way, you are clothed in the righteousness of Jesus. You are clothed in the righteousness of Jesus. But you are also to be the tassels that the world sees. You are to be those tassels. They need to see Jesus Christ in operation through you. They need to see you following the Good Shepherd, and they need to see the victory and the love and the power of Jesus Christ through you. Then they will be like that woman with the issue of blood. Then they are going to want to reach out and lay hold of Jesus for their lives. Listen, the prophet Zechariah, he speaks about a time that was coming, and he said there will come a time when 10 Gentiles, 10 men, will lay hold of the garment of one man who they know Jesus is in the Lord. They're going to lay hold of a garment, 10 men, laying hold of a garment of one man who they see that God is with. This is Zechariah chapter... this is so good. Man, Zechariah 8:23. Thus says the Lord of hosts, in those days 10 men out of all languages of the nations shall take hold of the robe of him who is a Jew, saying, let us go with him, for we have heard that God is with him. The world needs to see Jesus in you and I. The world needs to see Jesus as you, as his sheep, are following Jesus into the day. And then the world is going to want to reach out and lay hold of the tassels. They want to lay hold of the Jesus that they see in you. They will see it, they will reach out, they will grab for those tassels, and they will take it for themselves. And so this is why we need to be ready.
Yeah.
We need to be walking in his paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So let me end with this. Remember, get up every morning. I challenge you. These are not just words. It's what Stephanie said. Man, don't just listen to these things and think, oh, that was really cool, and then walk out. Rhetorical question. How many of you since last Sunday have gotten up, made an effort to make sure that when you get up, your feet hit the floor and you are saying, Jesus, I'm setting aside my agenda. It's not about me. It's about you. It's what you have. I'm your sheep. I know that I am helpless without you. But I know that you've got good plans for me. And I know that you've already gone before me into the day. And you've seen all those good plans for me. And that you are going to lead me into all those victories and deliverances. So here I am, Lord. Have you said this? Take me by the hand. Lead me into the day that you have prepared for me. And then walk into that day of victories and deliverances. Walk into that day of mental health. And then when the day is done, lie down before him. Make your last thoughts, thoughts about Jesus and his word. Forgetting all your cares and concerns. Saying, Jesus, I give it all to you. I can lay down. I can sleep in peace. And I know that you are going, while I'm sleeping, you're going before me and preparing the day that you have made for me personally. And then you've made yourself ready to hear his voice calling you into the day. I've given you this image before, but when I was, my dad was a pediatrician. So during the winters, my dad was always seeing sick kids. And then my dad would come home and breathe on us. And we would get all those germs that he had accumulated throughout the entire day. So we were always sick. And my brother, my sister, and I, man, we had strep throat probably 3 times a winter, all of us. And my dad didn't mess around with strep throat. Now, if he knew you had strep throat, if he thought you had strep throat, and he knew because he had seen it in others, and he knew he came and breathed it on us, he'd bring us into his office. I don't know what they do today, but man, do they still do the little swab in the back of the throat culture? I've told you guys before, my dad, he believed that throat cultures were important, but that they had to be deep. You don't just go, they had to be deep in the back. So my dad would get us, and he'd put us against a wall, and he put his arm like that against our chest. And he would get that swab, and he would stick it so far back into our throats until we started to gag and throw up, and then he would jump back out of the way. But he would take us in, and he would give us those swabs, and then he showed me one time, they had those Petri dishes. I don't know what they look like today, but back then they had that red gelatinous layer on the bottom. And he'd take that swab that he just swabbed my throat, and he'd wipe it on there, and it was that beautiful, pure, red, smooth crystal. And he'd screw it on, and he'd stick it in the incubator. And then he said, come tomorrow, I want you to see what it looks like. And they came tomorrow, and he unscrewed that thing, and it was hideous. It was just in 24 hours, it was covered with furry, just disgusting, whatever strep throat is. It was awful looking. And this is what Holy Spirit showed me this a couple of years ago. When you lay down at night, just leave it all with him. Because Lamentations talks about things being new every day. Whatever your problems are, whatever your concerns are, man, don't carry them into the next day. Nighttime is that opportunity because I'm going to sleep. I want to make sure that I'm leaving all my cares with you. Jesus, I'm leaving it all with you. So while I'm sleeping, Todd is actually out of the way. I'm in the way all day long because I'm using my own mind and my own brain. I'm in the way. When I'm sleeping, I'm out of the way. So when I'm sleeping, if I'm carrying the problems of yesterday overnight into today, it's like that Petri dish. I'm letting all those problems just fester and grow and get worse. Then I get up the next day, I've carried the problems of yesterday into today, and they're even worse. Or instead, I can lay it all with him. And then during the night, it is just the Holy Spirit speaking to my spirit and my soul, giving me peace, preparing me so I can hear his voice when I get up in the morning, calling me by name, calling you by name, and leading you into the day. This is the beauty that we see from Psalm 23. And we still have verses 4 and 5 to go yet, but those six verses are so anointed, so powerful, so important for us today. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I had a song I wanted to share with you, but I'm going to share it because I'm so late this time. I'm going to share it with you next week. That'll just give you something to think about. Jesus, we thank you and praise you for how good you are, how faithful you are. We thank you for every word you give us. Thank you for just your love, just for showing your love for us individually and speaking to us, and you speak to us individually throughout the day as well. We make the determination that we will lay down before you and let things go. And while we're sleeping, we're just going to trust you and let you minister to our spirits and souls, Holy Spirit. And then when we get up, we make the commitment that we are going to say, here I am, good shepherd, take me by the hand and lead me into the day. And then we'll be excited about the day that you have for us. We give you the praise and the glory in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand up and close in worshiping him today.